Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
Saying, yo, silly with my 9 milli with the dilly, yo. What? When I be on the mic, yes, I do my duty, yo. While up in the club like we while in the studio. You don't wanna violate, nigga, really and truly, yo. My main thug, nigga, named Julio, he moody, yo. What? Type of nigga that'll slap you with the tulio. Wow. Bitch, nigga, scared to death, act fruity, yo. Fuck that, look at shorty, she a little cutie, yo. The way she shake it make me wanna get all in the booty, yo. Top mistress at the banging bitches and videos. While I'm with my freak like we up in the freak shows. Hit you with the shit, make you feel it all in your toes. Hot shit, got all you niggas in wet clothes. Style like my metaphors when I formulate my flows. If you don't know, you fucking with lyrical player pros.
Do
like
you really
that.
Wanna party with me? Let me see just what you got for me. Put all your hands with my eyes to see. Straight buck wildin' in the place to be. If you really wanna party with me, let me see just what you got for me. Put all your hands with my eyes to see. Straight buck wildin' in the place to be. If you really wanna party with me.
And God we trust. Yo, it's a must that you heard of us. Yo, we murder us. A lot of niggas is wondering and they curious. How me and my niggas do it is so mysterious.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's Thursday, April 27th. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. We do this every week. Once a week. Well, twice a week. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here from UBC's campus. For the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. Appreciate you listening. If you'd like to call in at any moment, you can call in at 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-CITR on this Thursday, April 27th. We have really one Tuesday before the BC provincial election. So we have a lot going on this week, particularly 12 days before the provincial election. We have a lot of news coming out of the States, which really affects British Columbia and you British Columbians. Now, if you haven't listened to the show before, I like to talk about the things that I care about. I like to talk local news, national news. I like to talk some politics, some pop culture, and some sports. Sometimes I have some interesting guests lined up, some from comedians to some professors, industry leaders, sometimes some really, really smart people. I happen to have really, really smart friends, so sometimes I invite them on the radio. And today we have a special guest who'll be on in the mid-hour, after the mid-hour break. Now, if you haven't listened to the show before, we like to start off with the radio, but with the weather. But before we start with the weather, we'll just get into it that today it could possibly be very heated. If you didn't know, that was Busta Rhymes with "Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See." Now, it can get very heated in here. And so sometimes we can lose a temper and we could possibly say a few cuss words on the radio. Never, we understand that you're driving to work or you're driving your kids to school or you're getting ready, brushing your teeth, or you might just be in bed, chilling, hitting the snooze button, and this just happens to come on between your snoozes. And you might not want to hear it in the morning, but there will be. So if you are having your children listen to community radio, up at 7 in the morning. There could possibly be some cuss words. Now, we have a lot of going on. We have this week out of Washington, a lot of trade tariffs that have been directed towards Canada. I guess we thought for a little bit that Canada might be spared from Mr. Trump, as he had focused a lot on Mexico and continues to focus a lot on Mexico. So we thought here in Canada we might be good. Like, we might have avoided, you know, some of that. But nah, we have seen that it is actually pretty unavoidable. So we'll be getting into that. We'll be getting into some more things that have been going on. Like the NFL draft is happening this weekend, starting tonight. I think they do the first. I liked how they used to do the first day and the second day, which was really the first three rounds and the second four rounds. I mean, and then the four rounds after that. But now I think there's the first round today and then the second and third round tomorrow and then 4-7 on Saturday. I feel like it's just a long out, drawn out TV process so that they can create more and more content for television, which I didn't know ESPN needed the money until yesterday and saw that they had laid off a lot of their on-air talent. So I guess we will see whose lives have changed and what mistake the Cleveland Browns make. Now, if you have not listened to me before, you know that I'm American. And I grew up in Washington, D.C., and I spent about two-thirds of my life in Ohio, particularly around people who root for the Cleveland Browns. Now, what you don't know about Washington, D.C. and Cleveland is, although they are so very different, the one thing that really, I guess the one thing that they don't know that keeps them the same is that they both really have very, very tortured sports fan existences with the Browns and the Redskins and really making awful, awful, terrible decisions. So I expect more of the same. The Browns have two picks this year and the Redskins have one. I don't really care about the Redskins, but I do love to laugh at the Browns. So it'll be interesting to see who they take, and we'll be taking bets. So, you know, we like to get into the weather immediately on the show. So, as I checked yesterday, it said there was no chance of rain today. I lied. There will be a 50% chance of precipitation today. And last week I said it was going to rain for the next 14 days, and it actually only rained like 2 of the 7 days this week. So, I apologize for getting you guys all sad prematurely. But we've had some really, really nice weather. Yesterday was really nice. We got to spend some time in Crab Park with some homies kicking it. Went to the, I think it's the Infinity Gallery, or it's a gallery over near Clark, and I think it's First. But it was pretty cool. You got to see a lot of old pictures of Vancouver and what it looked like from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And since I'm not from here, I always find out how incredible it is that the city has changed so much in the last 20 years, particularly just how kind of shitty it used to be. But now it's easily one of my most favorite places in the world. So nice that I moved here. But the weather, if you want to get something done, tomorrow will probably be your best bet, because on Saturday and Sunday it is going to rain pretty heavily. Sunday, not as much as Saturday. So if you have any plans for the weekend, I would say do them tomorrow or Saturday. And if you are, I think it'll be a pretty good day. If you're going to Solange show tonight, she's got a show today, two shows today, I think one at 2:30 and one at 5:30, and then tomorrow at 5:30 again. It's in of the Macmillan Gallery. I am going to try to crash it to see if I can find some tickets. So, but if you have tickets, you can call in and give them to me at 604-822-2487. For the next week, I'm not even going to go over the weekend because the precipitation amount is too low, where it doesn't seem like anybody has any idea what's going on. However, keep May 11th in mind because it says it will be 20 degrees and mostly sunny. And that sounds like a beautiful day to me. So before we get into, anything too heavy, I just wanted to talk about, we talked about the Pepsi ad a few weeks ago, just pretty much about how they got it wrong, how they were able to see that maybe that this is something like the ad that needed to be made. And they started the wind up, and then they not only missed, but I felt like they hit the proverbial batter. Like if the batter was the public, they didn't strike it out. They made it pretty easy to, they made it pretty easy to see that the mistake, and it didn't take, it's to the point where we're just like, I don't understand how you didn't see it. However, Heineken, if you aren't a fan of the beer, or like if you're not like a 40-year-old Jamaican or a 50-year-old, I don't really know the type of people who drink Heineken beer except for people in my family. I don't think I've ever seen anybody order it at a bar, but who knows? Anyways, they made an advertisement that was not kind of political. It was the whole point of the ad was the politics, and they made the Heineken kind of secondary at the end. It was really cool concept. If you haven't checked it out, you should Google it. I'm sure you just Google Heineken ad and you can, and it'll come up immediately. What they did was they found people with extreme opposites on the political spectrum. The experiment was they made them do a task together. They made them build something together and learn a little bit about each other before they really dropped these visual, bombs. And really what it did, it didn't really expose the individual's political stances. What it did was mostly show that, listen, we're a lot of the same, and the people have, and you can see the good in people. And then, what makes someone different or what makes their ideology different isn't necessarily about them as a person, but just about their thoughts. And so I thought they did a good job, and then they shared a Heineken afterwards, but it wasn't, it was so different than the Pepsi, as Pepsi, I guess, made it centered around, Pepsi is going to change how we view protests and police brutality, and really try to capitalize on this culture that we have. But Heineken really went about it a different way, a better way. And I feel like that it has been universally accepted as a really, really good commercial. So the people at Heineken were able to see the mistakes that Pepsi made and made a better one. We also talked, not in the most recent times, we talked about net neutrality and what did that mean. We know that in Canada here, Trudeau has really promised to limit that type of policy. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, guys. I apologize. Yeah, so really tried to limit that type of policy that could create an environment where the cable companies get to pick winners. First of all, I think that's probably because there's not enough cable companies here, and the cable companies here are already piss poor. They already do a good job of gouging everyone, and the cable packages here are trash, to be honest. But what it means in the States is that basically the internet providers, the service providers, will be able to basically throttle the accessibility to specific websites, who essentially are probably going to have to pay for that. So if you have a so basically it won't be equal access among whichever websites, so they can basically in essence pick, I guess, which media outlets you'd be able to see, where you'd be able to shop quickly, you know, which where you'd be able to stream things from and where you can't. And I guess it's equivalent to having a like an HOV lane on the highway for it doesn't get like all this free market, you know, that we talk about. And we they like to talk about how the government staying out of some of these arguments or some of these policies will create a more of a even playing field. But we know that that's not always how it works. Like if you, I had a, like if you think about the director of FCC, he says they will win. So like he's already, he's part of the government, but he's already picking who will and who will not win. I don't think that that is fair. And especially working for or not working or working with a community radio station where if we had a I guess we have a magazine and we have a radio show. But if let's say CITR.ca was not picked or like we you know, we didn't pay into the system that allowed, you know, our content to be shared quickly or streamed quickly, you know, or at all, what it would do, it would limit your access to hearing alternative news sources. And I don't think that that's what the people need or want. I think that people like to have the options. Or and if you wanted to start your own media channel and you want to start your own website, you shouldn't have to pay extra for something that doesn't exist already. So when we get back, we'll be going into a little more about how Canada is really affected by some of these United States policies. And we'll be talking about this telephone conversation that Justin Trudeau and Donald Trump had and the differences between the correspondence in each of these leaders' houses.
For bootlegs and B-sides with your host Doran for the finest in soul, dubstep, ghetto funk, and electro.
Become a CITR member and make some new friends. Members get discounts on Main Street at
Hot Art Wet City, Antisocial Skateboard Shop, East Vanity Parlor, The Wallflower Modern Diner, RX Comics, Dandelion Records and Emporium, The Rag Machine, Neptune Records, The Regional Assembly of Text, Devil May Wear, Lucky's Comics, Book Warehouse, On the French Hair Design, Red Cat Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, True Value Vintage, and I Found Gallery, and the Biltmore Cabaret.
What would we do without our friends?
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking for one.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
Yeah, in the hood with the thugs, yeah, dog got it. And for the hood, got love, yeah, dog got it. See, in these streets, shit can go both ways. So I'm rolling through the hood like I should have been. Yeah, this the part when the bottles start popping. This the part when the hoes in the air start dropping. Hey. This the part when the bottles start popping. When I pull up to the club, all the hoes start flocking.
I've been in out of the game, nigga, now I'm here to stay. Y'all playing, y'all been playing, no super, I've been saying. Don't lose your concentration, I'm staying at a Holiday Inn for no reason. We just love them 4 seasons, no summer, spring, fall, or winter. Been winning, we need room cleaning, she wet, got me Aquafina. Wet dreams and I ain't even sleeping, the party don't need to start it. She got me thinking of leaving, almost inhaling the liquor while I'm exhaling the reasons. I told her, you older, it's cool, I'm young, but not sober. I rolled up for you, then I pulled up on your crew. Like, what you finna do? I've been high like dinner fools. Don't need to microwave me, I'm wavy, I kill a dude. My nigga say stop, I say shots my Haitians, ayy. Yeah, true money by a lot, but it can't buy faith. Damn, what can I say? Grey Goose, that's a rockin' Courvoisier. We ain't even get to Friday, how y'all day nowadays? I don't just spit, I spray, nigga say don't spray. Now say what I say, ah. In the hood with the thugs, yeah, dog, I been. And for the hood, got love, yeah, dog, I been. See, in these streets, shit can go both ways. So I'm rollin' through the hood like I should, I been. Yeah, this the part when the bottles start poppin'. This the part when the hoes in the air start droppin', ayy. This the part when the bottles start poppin'. When I pull up to the club, all the hoes start flockin', ayy. Oh God, I feel so chosen. I'm that nigga that rose in 20 deep in the snow and still blowing on pole. And I'm connected for rising. Ain't got shit on the skies. You just a bitch in disguise. My cylinder's in the skies. And if y'all can't change, do not expect my currency. Currently sipping champagne. That man there, he worry me. I get pissed off and you heard me. White girls in our section singing. We need way more bottles, baby. Bring them, bring them, bring them, bring them. Oh, mad at me, nigga, check your hoe. No code check, no checks, get froze. Made a hit and then they get low. How you stay great if you can't get dough? Told them, hold their heads up, right? Everything's gonna be alright. See white girls in neon lights and three or mine. Hey, only showed up for promo. Bony hoes, that's a no-no. You show me your hoe, she so-so. No post, she gotta go-go. Running this shit, I'm showboating. Coughing all out, it's so potent. Rolling and rolling, I'm high as fuck, nigga. That's for sure, though. In the hood with the thugs, yeah, dog, I been. And for the hood, got love, yeah, dog, I been. See, in these streets, shit can go both ways. So I'm rolling through the hood like I should, I been. Yeah, this the part when the bottles start popping. This the part when the hoes in the air start dropping, hey. This the part when the bottles start popping. When I pull up to the club, all the hoes start flocking, hey.
If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. I'm your host, East Arian, and this is Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. You can tune in every week at CITR.ca through your browser, and you can check out the latest episodes on Mixcloud/Off the Beaten Path. Mixcloud.com/Off the Beaten Path. Now, I talked about how we were going to go into some of the BC election news. So, if you aren't familiar, which I wasn't, I had to do, I've been in British Columbia for almost 2 years now. And so, my first fall here was the federal race, when Justin Trudeau became the prime minister. So that was really my into BC politics, sitting around TV with some old folks, listening to them talk about the different parties and how the political system works here and how it's just a little bit different than it is in the States. I enjoy watching the parliament on TV because they like to yell at each other, and I don't really get that when you watch C-SPAN, you know, from the U.S. Capitol. It's so much more animated, and it feels like the politicians here are so much more invested and they care more. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what it feels like. So if you don't know about the race here, so there's really three parties here. There's the BC Liberal Party, the New Democratic Party, and the Green Party. Now, don't get caught up in the names, because the BC Liberal Party is really much more aligned with conservatives in the States than liberals. However, it's just really interesting to see and hear how different the stances are, and different the stances can be. So what you're looking for is they're electing a new leader. And so the current BC premier is Christy Clark. And so the NDP leader is John Horgan, and the Green Party is Andrew Weaver. They had a debate yesterday. And so, like we always talk about here, the five really things that they talk about here is, number one is always housing. what Trump did this week, putting the 20% tariff on lumber, really elevated lumber here in BC, because such a large industry here in the forestry, particularly, is out of lumber, and lumber exported into the United States. There's hundreds of thousands of people employed in the lumber industry, particularly when you leave the lower mainland. I think we can get so caught up here in like the bubble of the city and not understand how big Canada is in general, and just how big the province of BC is. So it's not just Vancouver, but it's all the way up to Prince Roberts and all the way up to Alaska. And if you ever looked at a map and you just see how far Alaska is from the United States, just think the space that fills it is British Columbia. So, you know, don't forget that. And so basically, we and education. So we have seen some of these things talk about. And on the show, we focus on housing because it's one of the most pressing issues from me and my friends, just on how it's just hard to imagine yourself being able to afford anything to live for in BC. So I'm going to play a short clip from the debate yesterday, which is John Horgan and Christy Clark going at it.
You said you waited to get the right answer. Well, you waited. The average housing price in Vancouver went up $600,000, eliminating any prospect of young people buying a home in this province. Why did you wait so long? Was it because your rich developers were making a bundle, or was it you just didn't care about families not being able to buy homes in Metro Vancouver?
Because we care about people who own their own homes already, too. We want to make sure that young people get into those first homes, but we want to make sure that if you own your own home, government wasn't going to take some initiative so dramatic and so harmful that it meant you lost the equity in the home that you've built. This has never, a 15% foreign tax on buyers has never been done in North America. We collected the data and we made sure we understood what was going to happen. And guess what? It worked. It cooled the market. But it's not all we need to do. We need to support first-time home buyers getting into their homes through the home program, which is up to a $37,000 loan. The NDP want to scrap that. They want to pay renters $1 a day to stay in a rental accommodation. I think people want to own the home that they live in.
So as I watched the debate yesterday and talked and listened to Christy Clark talk about particularly. They like to set up these as between homeowners and renters. I think that is something that they also do in the States. They really like to put these people as if like everyone who is renting wants to own a home, and everyone who owns a home, you know, thinks renting is not an option. And it almost feels as if, you know, people, if you don't want to own a home, or you know, you want to live, you know, affordably, you have to own a home. Like, you have to. So I asked a lot of my friends, particularly, you know, in our age range between 25 and 30 here in the lower mainland, if they even wanted to own a home. And it's not even the fact that they want to. People can't even see the option of owning a home just because of how expensive homes are. And I feel that in like our generation, and in the way that we look at jobs and the way that we look at you know, things that we want to do, people really find a lot of flexibility in being able to move because jobs are moving. Like, I know very few people so I've been out of college since 2011, so 6 years. I'm not sure if I know anyone who has been at the same job for more than 3 years or 4 years. You know, people, it's just the way that the job market is that people are in a constant flux for looking for something else, or, you know, looking to change careers, or looking to, you know, learn different skills, and going from job to job is not it's not seen as such a negative thing as we saw in previous generations, where people stick around jobs for 25, 30 years at the same place, in the same position, you know, like growing roots. And so when we look at the housing, you know, we look at particularly with Christy Clark, she, in I guess in the 10 years that they've the party has been in power, you know, it seems very rarely that they're actually looking to help. They're looking to help people get into these positions. So she talks about having a first-time homeowner's interest-free loan of $37,000. But when the average home price in Vancouver is like $2.5 million, I don't really understand how $37,000 is going to help you. It even if you, in Canada, you have to have a minimum 20%. So you think if you, if you have a minimum 20%, on your home. So if the average home is $2.5 million, the average, I think it's like one bedroom condo downtown is like, $1.3 million. So like, let's just say you have to have over $250,000, as a down payment. And so what the hell is $37,000 going to do for you? Absolutely nothing. I also don't think that the $400, rebate is a good use of money either, as, there are people who are renting these condos downtown, or condos anywhere, renting apartments anywhere, particularly in Vancouver, who can afford the $400 that will be reaping the benefits of some of these rental programs. So I really feel like they, you know, as the selection comes on, none of the individuals have really emerged, as we've seen in the popularity in the polls. Christy Clark was at the bottom, and she's slowly gaining, particularly just from staying out of the arguments between Horgan and Andrew Weaver. But we will see, I guess we'll see in the next 12 days how this is going to turn out as the race heats up. It's interesting to see how they ended the debates in talking about basically which they're basically going to focus on. And they just talked about how Christy Clark says that she needs to be elected premier because she's the strongest one who can fight Trump. And what we've seen from Trump is he really is not scared to go against Canada or go against Mexico or go against anybody. After our next break, we'll be getting into, we're talking to one of my really, really smart friends who we have calling in. And we're just going to be talking about some of the issues. But as I hope, as a BC resident, since I can't vote, I just hope that the voters make the best decision for me. Because when I think, When I like to think about these politics, and I like to, you know, when it all comes down to it, is how does this work out for me? Because as we like to think about, you know, politics as being just very altruistic ideal where we should vote in the interest of the best interest of everybody in the province, that would be hustling backwards for me to vote. Or for me to ask you guys to vote against my interests. So think about that when you go to the polls next Tuesday, or if you're voting on Saturday in a early vote.
Slopes of Whistler, boy, do we have great news for you. Escape the city in one of Zipcar's many mountain-ready vehicles. Plus, get $30 back in free driving credit when you tweet a selfie on the slopes at Zipcar Vancouver. Zipcar, wheels when you want them.
We're from the UBC Food Society.
Yummy.
and we're the only food club at UBC.
We're about feeding students, but also teaching them how to feed themselves. Through our restaurant outings and cooking workshops, we hope to expose you guys to the diversity of cultures, flavors, and food communities Vancouver has to offer.
So if you want to get involved, email us at foodsociety@gmail.com or check up on our website at www.ams.ubc.ca/clubs/foodsociety, or you can even join our Facebook group.
Salam, روزتون بخیر. My name is Sahan, the president of UBC Persian Club.
And this is Yasaman, the VP admin.
UBC Persian Club is a non-profit student organization with the goal of empowering the Iranian community at UBC by acting as a social hub for Iranian students, bringing together diverse members of the community who have a common interest in Iranian culture, and nurturing and representing the Iranian community in Vancouver.
They have monthly member-exclusive events, Pelon, the screen documentary movies and short films by Iranian directors with English subtitles. Music Gatherings, a series of casual music gatherings at which students can play different types of instruments, and sports events and game nights.
Our regular events are member exclusive and you will receive 25% discount on our annual events. You can visit us at ubcpc.com or email us through info@ubcpc.com.
Or you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on Vancouver's community radio station, 101.9 CITR. Thank you if you're listening on CITR.ca. What you're just listening to was Shagabond. He's out of Toronto, Canada, with Citrus Shampoo. So, like I said, after the break, we're going to get into just a little bit of how some of these policies are affecting Canada. And so I have my friend Ben on.
Morning Ethan, and good morning Vancouver.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, and so yeah, so we just listen, we have a group chat where we every day we wake up and we just see like, man, what is going on today. And so yesterday one of our friends, he posted about the readout, and so the readout of the phone call that Trump and Justin Trudeau had, and I just wanted to read it on air. So this is from Canada. So Prime Minister Trudeau spoke today with the United States President Donald J. Trump. The Prime Minister and the President reaffirmed the importance of a mutually beneficial Canada-U.S. trade relationship. On the issue of softwood lumber, the Prime Minister refuted the baseless allegations by the United States Department of Commerce and the decision to impose their unfair duties. The Prime Minister stressed the Government of Canada would vigorously defend the interests of the Canadian softwood lumber industry, as we have successfully done in all past lumber disputes with the United States. The two leaders agreed upon the importance of reaching a negotiated statement recognizing the integrated nature of the industry between Canada and the United States. Prime Minister and the President also discussed the Canada-U.S. trade in dairy products, which heavily favors the United States. Canada imports over $550 million of dairy products from the United States, but exports just over $110 million. To the United States, the Prime Minister reaffirmed that Canada upholds its international trade obligations, including including NAFTA, under which the United States continues to have duty-free quota access free for milk protein substances. Then you see the one from the Office of the Press Secretary. President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Trudeau spoke today. The two leaders discussed the dairy trade in Wisconsin. New York State, and various other places. They also discussed lumber coming into the United States. It was a very amicable call. Like, how does the level of detail in Canada just, it trumps the press secretary's level of detail. I just don't understand. Like, so you, very smart guy.
Thank you.
Yeah. So like, when you hear these things from Donald Trump, what are your thoughts?
Well, so first and foremost, the United States' entire presidential and sort of far right wing's complete and woeful lack of respect for transparency is kind of scary. You know, they've basically taken to, if you saw their tax reform bill come out yesterday, it was bullet points in a single page header. We're not governing in the traditional nature that, you know, the United States is accustomed to. We're simply throwing broad stroke policies and instigating what amounts to political anarchy instead of actually, you know, taking care of conversations and looking at the nuances of politics. So, in short, it scares me a lot.
Yeah, I didn't even get into the tax reform for economic growth. I saw that one pager, and I was gonna read it. It just seems, how can you think of something so complex is so simple? Like, it feels like everything that they're doing is trying to simplify. And I just feel like I'm getting tricked no matter what. Like, I can't feel like no matter what I'm getting fooled. You know, because if I buy into Donald Trump, is like, I'm like, I just can't imagine he's this stupid, you know?
Well, part of it is I think playing stupid when they're not actually quite that dumb. At least some of his senior advisors and some of the people that are in the Republican Party, they're not stupid. And as stupid as some of the things that I'm seeing come across right now are, I don't think that Donald Trump is inherently stupid. I'm envious of you and everybody in Vancouver, just partially because everybody understands and can speak to hockey at an intelligent level, but also because you have a prime minister and elected leaders that seem to understand the weight and importance of their decisions and to want to communicate. I mean, nuance is the word I keep coming back to, but how, you know, a nation of hundreds of millions of people and a global economy of almost 8 billion people have competing and ultimately differing views on a lot of different policy. What it comes down to is being able to understand and communicate that not everybody is going to win or necessarily get what they want 100% of the time, but that doing the most good for the greatest amount of humanity is what politics is all about. And we're missing that so fundamentally.
Yeah. So like I was doing some research on the, on the director of the National Economic Council for Donald Trump. And you know, did you know the dude is from Cleveland?
Who? Cone?
Yeah, Cone.
Oh, I didn't actually.
Yeah. He's from Cleveland. And I think he went to Guilford or Gilmore Academy. And and then you know, and it was just interesting, you know, like during the whole election, he's talking about getting all these Goldman Sachs and these Wall Street executives out of politics, but then the economic advisor is a former Goldman Sachs guy who got like $350 million payout to get to leave Goldman Sachs to join Trump's cabinet. And but the crazy part is reading about him, he's the most moderate person on in the whole White House. And so like when talking about someone who has like these extreme, who has these policies, and the most moderate, the most like the adult in the room is someone who who's pressing for some of these reforms, like repealing, like trying to simplify this tax code and really expecting people to bring to repatriate money back into the United States. Like, what do you think about do you think that people are going to do that? Do you think that companies are going to do that, and individuals?
Do I think that United States, the people who have offshore tax shelters, are going to repatriate their money?
Yeah, like, I don't. That's what Donald Trump says they're going to do.
Well, that was the – so they're trying to figure out how to make up for the enormous budget shortfall that's going to come if they just start flat taxing people, which to a certain extent I wouldn't hate, right? I'm a business owner. I would love to see simpler taxes, but that doesn't mean that I think that we should get rid of taxes. They fund, you know, basically most of the good things that have generated, I mean, interstate commerce and interstate travel. Federal taxes account for a lot of things that Americans can, you know, consider – you know, rights and ways of life. I'm looking at my U.S. passport and wondering what this means for my ability to go abroad. But do I think that money is going to start funneling back in? If we just say, okay, we're going to give you guys a reduced taxable obligation and we're going to get rid of the estate tax or the death tax, as they call it, to start passing that money down through generations? Probably not. You know, as it turns out, that money doesn't actually just sit in a, you know, a bank vault in the middle of the Cayman Islands. It's usually being circulated through some form of, you know, through some form of a financial instrument. It's not like we can just start pulling back the trillions of dollars that the upper 1% in the U.S. has stashed offshore overnight. Even if we did and taxed it at a, you know, a moderate rate that would incentivize them to take it back, it still wouldn't make up for the budget deficit.
Yeah, so that was my question. From looking from this tax reform, it says they're going to reduce the taxes for the middle income American, and also reduce business taxes. So, like, you know, I know math. When you reduce, you know, so when you reduce government revenue without decreasing government spending, or you know, like, when do you think that they'll start to reconcile? You know, like, or start to talk about how this is going to affect the budget, and where are they going to make these really, really big cuts? You know, as we see that the United States is continuing its military efforts, which is going to only increase cost.
Well, so that's there's two interesting points there. I want to talk money for a second, and then talk warmongering if we can. But
oh yeah, yeah. Listen, we can talk about this. Is my show. We can talk whatever we can go wherever we want.
Beautiful. So from the financial perspective, there's this very little chance that this bill gets through, even, or this tax reform bill gets through, even with Republican-controlled Congress. We're not going to be able, it sounds like at least, to get a completely irreconciled budget through Congress. And that is one of the strong points right now, I guess, is right now most of these executive orders that Trump is putting out, from the travel ban to the tax reform and everything in between, require a bipartisan, although it's Republican controlled in both the House and Senate, vote to actually create laws or change legislation around these types of, you know, these types of policies. So hopefully, you know, congressional Republicans and Democrats who have been battling this are going to continue to listen to their constituents who, when they look at these policies from a, you know, a flat out perspective, are going to realize that these are not good for the average American in a lot of ways. The scary part of that is the congressional, you know, decisions to, you know, actually declare war do require congressional support. What doesn't require that are the actions that the president is taking, basically, you know, deploying troops to the South China Sea or to the Korean Peninsula, excuse me, continuously, you know, sort of baiting Iran and Syria, bombing Syria with seemingly no recourse or follow-on plan. I think we're making a lot of military actions right now that are flexing our might. The U.S. loves war, and we'll find a way to fund it. But as a United States citizen, I'm actually absolutely appalled at the fact that we're trying to seemingly pick a fight with the entire world.
Yeah, it's almost as if, like, the fear-mongering has actually led to us actually being scared of going of you know, and like, I'm laughing, but it's like very serious.
It's very serious.
Yeah,
I'm very nervous about this, and I don't scare easily.
Yeah, I just find it like, how long can, like, I remember when, you know, first off, people were saying, oh, Donald Trump can't be elected, and then first, you know, people were saying, oh, he won't last 100 days. Like, I feel like He might go full term. I feel like he's gonna go full term, even even with all of the things that people don't like. And so, like, when I think about that, I think that that's the scary part, because what I'm scared of is he's going to luck up into some win, because he doesn't have a win yet. So, like, he doesn't have a win yet, and his supporters are still vehemently, supporting him, you know, over and over and over and over. So, like, what do you, like, do you think that there's anything that he could do to, to put himself in a position that in 2020 people are not willing to vote for Donald Trump again? Or do you feel like me and just really pessimistic and feel like he's going to stumble upon something that resembles a win?
That's a tough question. I don't have my crystal ball out. I would be shocked if he's a two-term president. But it's also very difficult to imagine a Republican Congress impeaching the president of the United States without some egregious, some, not even Watergate. It has to be so sort of transparent that he's done something that's completely illegal and needs to get out of office. And so they've kind of towed around the connections with Russia and if he's done anything there that's actually an impeachable offense. And I guess we're still waiting on that. But if there was some smoking gun, we'd see it. but yeah, we have to prepare that this is going to be 4 years of, I guess, sort of, as I said before, but political anarchy. And that's a scary thought.
So I guess we want to get into some lighter news, because I just think that it's important. It's important to end on something positive, okay. Like something that gives you a little hope. But before we get into the hope, we get into how mad do you think Larry David was when he found out that Steve Bannon made millions of dollars off of Seinfeld?
Larry David is one of my absolute favorite comedians. Seinfeld's amazing, Curb's amazing, and his response to this was, it's something along the lines of, how upset Steve Bannon must have been that he's making so much money off the back of these hardworking, industrious Jews. I think Larry David is just, I'm sure he's incensed. I'm sure there's nothing he can do about it. But it's tough to know that your work and your craft, which has created so much good and so much happiness for so many people, is funding the pockets of just a rampant anti-Semite.
Yeah, like I just imagine. Like, is there any way to escape? Is there any way to escape that? Like, I feel like no matter what I do, like, if I make money at all, ever, it's probably because I made, because I made someone else more money. Like, that's the only way I can make money, It's, and so, like, the people who have money probably don't like me. And so for me making them money just really bothers me. Like, I would much rather, just be destitute than make someone I hate more money, put them in a better position. But who do you think the Browns take number one?
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't do that.
I think it has to. I mean, I feel like this is the most hopeful that any Browns fan gets for the entire year.
This is our Super Bowl, and we are going to pull an Atlanta Falcons, I think, and blow the easiest lead in history and take Mitch Trubisky at one. And that's going to be a very upsetting, I think, moment for a lot of Browns fans. We were talking about it in another group that I'm in, and basically everybody said that if we don't pick Garrett at one, we're boycotting. We're out.
See, but you say that now, but damn well on the first Browns game, you will be supporting the Browns even if they pick Mitch Trubisky.
I'm already planning to book to go see the Browns and the Vikings in London. I'll be one of like 8 people at the game, but I'm already planning to go overseas to see these guys. However, I would love my Sundays back and to have the opportunity to just be a happy, healthy, adjusted human, getting into the work week or whatever. So if they take Trubisky, I go to one game this year and, I get 16 weeks to myself.
Yeah, the most underrated thing about moving to Canada moving to the West Coast of Canada was, one, you don't have to be inundated with football. Like, football isn't in your face. And if I want to watch football, like, I can watch football comfortably. And it starts at 10 a.m. in the morning. So,
yeah,
like, it's like, you don't have to watch it if you don't want to. You can do whatever you want on Sundays. Like, 90% of the people in in Vancouver are doing something other than watching football. So you can not watch football if you want. Like in Cleveland, I always felt like that there's absolutely nothing you can do that doesn't involve the Browns.
Not between the months of September and January.
Yeah. No. Even after week four when they've been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
We're actually technically mathematically eliminated from the playoffs for the next 6 years.
Oh man. Well I know you gotta go, and I really thank you for joining us on the show. And I hope that people got some good ideas about just like what is the outlook and what do people in America really think? Because I feel like that since Donald Trump is president, people really have this idea that everybody in America is like totally down with this dude, even as they know we're not.
First off, thank you for having me on the air, Issa. And I just want to point out to everybody listening that it is not all of America that agrees with everything that's going on here. So I'm proud of, you know, my American citizenship and living here, but not exactly proud of the way that we're shaping our country right now.
All right. Thanks for being with us. And when we get back, we'll be going into some not weird news. We'll be going into somebody else killed himself on Facebook Live, and this one is not nearly as funny.
Conference Week, where our goal is to foster more intelligent and intellectual dialogue about Africa on the UBC campus. With this in mind, we hope to contribute towards creating global citizens with a more informed perspective of the continent.
This is Nicole from UBC Heart and Stroke Foundation Club. Here at HSF, we aim to promote health and wellness, provide financial and volunteer support for the Heart and Stroke Foundation of BC and Yukon, and foster interest in cardiovascular disease research. If you want to be part of an amazing community of heartthrobs, learn more at www.ubchsf.com.
Le'Veon's the best all-around back in football, right?
I didn't lie.
Yeah, bro. Well,
See, vote. Le'Veon Bell is one of the unique guys. There's nothing he can't do. He can't do. He's so patient. I'm yelling at the TV. Let me hit the hole, Le'Veon. And he's just like, he got the ball. I think I'm gonna go to the right.
But you don't see that though, huh?
Charm on the beat.
Yeah, Trent Bayless. I've been hearing you lately. You love Jerry way too much. You acting like y'all related. I got the Hall of Fame waiting. I'm the best and you hate it. I don't know why you hating. I don't know why you hate me. Probably because my name is mentioned close with some of the greatest. Then they talk about patience. You close to testing my patience. You say whatever for ratings. I'm not blind. I can see it. You say I'm just an average running back. No way you believe it. You talking down for no reason. Talking down for no reason. Because you know my number's crazy when I'm done with the season. Sometimes I hate that you breathing. Think you sick as a germ. You keep on talking all that nonsense. I'm a call Richard Sherm. Yeah. I'm like Steph, I'm not missing. I told you I'm on a mission, and the shrimp didn't listen. Undisputed was tempting, but I couldn't get with it. You wanna talk for attention? Well, look, here's your attention. Yeah.
He is the most extreme patient runner that I've ever seen.
Yeah. They wanna hate on me, but I don't get it. People mad at me cause I ball and I'm out here spitting. People know that I got the flow, they don't know what to do. Not a clue, like the DJ, so I'm on the ones and twos. Yeah, this is all perfect timing, and I'm known to tote the rock, and I don't mean Dwayne Johnson. They upset cause the money on my conscience. You don't think that I'm the best and stay away with all that nonsense.
He calls himself Juice, that's his rapper name, and he's recorded such hits as Rapping Athlete, On a Mission, 2 a.m. That's a dangerous title of the song.
Yeah, not back to you hating. I don't care what you saying. All these beats I be slaying. I think I'm hotter than Satan. I don't know why you playing. My music only turning up like I done went Super Saiyan. All this money is raining. I can't stop it from raining. These dollars running they bounce. So I'm rapping like Shady. I don't need me a savings. The money do a 180. The shrimpy know we act crazy. Deflate you just like I'm Brady. Yeah. I guess your vision's a blur. Guess the only way he like me if I play for the Spurs. I think the Cowboys hurt his heart. I'm about to get him a nurse. Keep on talking that mess. This will only get worse. Post interviewers on the way to tapings and works. Don't nobody wanna mess with me. I'm worse than a curse. I'm always bringing that heat, and I stay with that heat. Shrimp, they talking about me like I'm Odell on the beat. Yeah.
Hit the hole, Le'Veon.
Yeah, you back with Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, East Arian. Here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I was actually been given a little bit more time since it's the summertime. So I go as long as I would like. What you just heard was Sid, All About Me. And then you heard Le'Veon Bell, Trent Bayless. Now, if you don't know who Le'Veon Bell is, he was the NFL's leading rusher last year and probably one of the best running backs in the league. And then he made a Skip Bayless diss track, and I had to listen because who doesn't like to talk smack about Skip Bayless? You know, it was actually better than I thought. I thought his voice was a little monotone. He could probably change some pitches in there a little bit. But for athlete, I don't know if it gets better than Roy Jones. Y'all must have forgot, but I don't know. That was pretty good. So I was corrected about the Heineken and the Pepsi ad. What most people don't know, including myself, is that the Heineken ad came out first, which makes the Pepsi ads seem so much more ridiculous. I don't understand. And we should all be upset that good ads, and when companies do something good, it doesn't go viral. But when companies make mistakes, and not just mistakes, when they do something, when they make an error, an egregious error, we jump on them. So as a company, you have to think, is it worth me taking a stand when, if you don't get it exactly right, you are going to get slammed by the general public and by social media? What I would say is just do better. That's it. Just do better. Like, put more effort into some of those things. Like, it's part of the business to tell your story and to tell the story that you think people want to hear. So just make sure you do a good job. There's some interesting news today coming out of Vancouver. Actually, so there was a two-day TED conference, and I saw the sun. Serena Williams, she was here doing a TED Talk. I'm not really sure what the TED Talk was on because I've just been so enamored by the fact that she was in Vancouver sitting in the same coffee shop. And, like, how can – I don't think that there are too many people that, like, I personally get – I don't get really starstruck. Like, I saw – in this past week, I've seen lots of celebrities here in Vancouver. It's really been a good week for celebrity sightings. But, so like whenever you see somebody famous or on somebody on TV, you know, I don't really get too caught up in that, but Serena Williams, you're just like, wow. But anyways, so there was an unveiling of a robot dog, out of Boston Dynamics. And basically what it is like a robot that, presumably they want to deliver packages. And, it did two really cool things that people were really excited about. But it picked up a fragile object without breaking it, and it used a camera to decide where to step when on unfamiliar terrain, like where to place its foot and how to balance and things like that. And it's crazy to think that, like, it just won't be very long before there are robots like that in our houses. And you know, robots with machine learning. So the idea is that robots that can learn and continue to learn after they've been programmed, which for me, I just think that that's really scary because I've seen lots of movies. Like, I don't know if has there ever been a, so one of my favorite comedians or one of my favorite entertainers is Charlie Chaplin, right? And so in modern times, Charlie Chaplin, he really, it's crazy because it's like in the 30s and he foresees a technology that doesn't come out for the next, you know, 70, 80 years. Like, he has put this into his production. Like, obviously it's not working, you know, it's not working, but being able to see the future and like a cell phone is not really scary. You know, I guess maybe it's not scary to me now, but maybe back then it was. But, you know, a television isn't scary, like a television neck, or, you know, like a face, you know, being able to FaceTime is not scary. But, like, bombs are pretty scary. Like, you know, they imagine, like, a really, really, really big bomb. Like, we can imagine that. But, like, imagining, like, a robot in your house and a robot that can learn and a robot that might have empathy, and maybe robots that do not have are empathetic, and like, what does that mean for people? And so, like, if a robot is in your house and it's smarter than you, will it let you tell it what to do? And if a robot is in your house and it's smarter than you, will it let you turn it off? Like, imagine having a robot in your house that's like kicking it. And you're like, hey, can you change the channel to the NBA playoffs, please? And the robot's like, nah. Like, it doesn't say anything else. It's just like, nah, I'm watching this. I'm watching this documentary. I need to learn. You know, like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to say to your robot? You're going to turn him off? He's going to be like, bro, get out of here. Might make you leave your own house. Might whoop you. So they had a lot of robots unveiled in this particular TED conference. And so I'm just going to say, robots scare me. They scare the shit out of me. Just going to be honest. And lastly, Young Thug is making a singing album. Now, a lot of you might not care, but it will be executive produced by Drake. I don't really know what that means. I like to think of Young Thug. He makes rap ballads. And so I'm really interested in seeing what this project looks like, because when he first came out, what was it, the Lifestyle song, I was like, bruh, this dude's trash. But I guess after listening to him and seeing other people who are way more trash than him, Or maybe he's gotten better. But I'm not so down on Young Thug as I used to be. So I'll be interested in see what a singing Young Thug sounds like. Because I feel like all of his songs have been pretty much singing. So it'd be interesting. And to see how what a Drake executive produced album sounds like. The Wizards have a chance to finish the Hawks off in the playoffs this week. And the Caps start their playoffs against the Penguins. Now, I'm not going to get my hopes too high because we all know how the playoff series ends once we play the Penguins. Like, we couldn't get a better seed being the one trying to avoid the Pens. But we'll see. Like I said, D.C. historically tortured Sporting City, and the Capitals just add to our list of awful, awful sports teams. No matter how good we are, we face the Pens. It's a wrap for us. And as a wrap for this show, I'd like to thank you all for staying tuned for the entire hour and 15 minutes. I'd like to thank my guest, Ben, for coming and spending some knowledge about some politics and some Trump opinions and things that we got going on. And I'd like to wish the best of luck to all of you fans who will surely be disappointed today because your NFL team will continue to probably not be very good and lose to the Patriots in the championship. So you guys have a great week. Enjoy the nice weather here in Vancouver over the weekend. And stay tuned for the next show. Thanks.
Diversify your university involvement and experience.